It seems that the more we learn, the less we know. You just can't keep up. I believe they said it was the year the printing press was invented, was the last time you could ever read all the new information that came out. Once the printing press was invented, so much new information would come out every year that it was impossible to read it all. You just can't know everything. Contrary to popular belief, there are some people who think they can, and some people who think they do. But you can't know it all. So therefore, you need to be taught. And every time we meet someone, it's a class. Yeah. Maybe you've never heard me say it. I know my children and grandchildren have heard me say it. They'll tell me about experience they've had, and I'll say, just count it as tuition toward your education. Well, that happened. I arrived at college, and my first class they signed me up for was Life and Teachings of Jesus, and there was about 220, 230, after 200, doesn't matter, students in the class. And it came time for the final exam. Before he gave the exam, he told us, he said, if you ace every quiz, you're going to have a quiz every time we have class. If you ace every quiz, you won't have to take the final exam. And then he would say, anyone who has, I know you're in college, you have a lot to do. Anybody who needs to leave, you can leave. And about 180 would leave. And then, just before the class would end, he'd say, tomorrow here are the answers to the quiz. He said, and if you tell anybody, you get a zero final grade. So it came time for final exam. I already knew I didn't have to take the exam, but he said, we're going to have a final exam. And if you had been there every class, he had already had your name, and you, he says, but anyone who can name the 12 disciples can leave now, and you will get 100 on your exam. 220, 230. There was one person. These are all theology majors. One person. You know why? Because I sat there, and I know we've sung the song here, and probably most of you don't remember it. There were 12 disciples. And I started in my head. Yeah. There were 12 disciples. Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother, John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew handed it in. Nobody else knew the 12 disciples. Can you believe that? 220 students. And as a matter of fact, we even had one guy who used to cheat off other people's tests in Life and Teachings of Jesus. Yeah. I guess he missed that chapter. I couldn't find that in the Gospels. So I got to thinking, maybe we either not need to start singing the song. If that was your quiz today, how many people can name the 12 disciples? That's unimportant. What is important is what is a disciple? See, because the Hebrew word for disciple, remember the New Testament's written in Greek, but they spoke Hebrew, even though the New Testament was written in Greek. And the Hebrew word for a disciple means learning, or the learning ones, or the taught ones. Which means, if you remember, they would call Jesus rabbi. And the mistake we make as Christians is, many of us think we're the rabbi. I mean, haven't we been called to teach? No. We've been called to learn. A disciple is a learning one, not a teaching one. There is only one teacher if you're a Christian, and that's Jesus. And see, we want to go to church, and it's not a bad thing to go to church and learn something new. However, I believe it's in the New Testament. It says, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They studied. I believe the way we just sang a song, they were still and listening to God. God says, if any of you, have you ever been in a position where you said, I just wish God would tell me what to do? He never will. You know why? He's already told you. He never tells you in the midst of a storm what to do. He told you before you ever got into the storm. We just aren't listening. And if you don't believe that, think about how this went down. In Matthew, and you know, this amazes me the way this took place, because I'm thinking you're in a store and you're behind a counter. That isn't where this took place. Matthew chapter 4. But it's the same basic thing. Think about what you do in everyday life, wherever you worked in the past or where you're working now. And in verse 18, he says, as he, Jesus, was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their net into the sea, since they were fishermen. First off, notice something. They were working. You will never find anywhere in Scripture where God calls somebody who wasn't already doing something. See, I told Aaron the other day, I know he's going to get a job, because the easiest place to get a job is when you already have one. Don't ask me why that is, other than Scripture. Yeah, I don't know why that is. And here's the problem Aaron's going to have. Which one do I take? Yeah. And he says, so Jesus saw people. He didn't go say, I need some day labor. Let me go down to 7-Eleven. Do they even have 7-Eleven? Go to Wawa and see who's standing around and willing to work. He went and found people that, you know, I tell people all the time, I don't need more on my plate, and I don't need a bigger plate. And when I was at another church here in town, they used to say, we need the prayer of Jabez. Lord, increase my territory. I don't want my territory increased. Yeah. If he wants to increase it, fine. I don't need more. Yeah. That would be like somebody has said to me, have you ever thought about picking up at more stores? No. Yeah. I guess we'd have to get up at 2 then, Kay, instead of 4. I mean, think about it. Yeah. But God says, whenever I need something done, I don't look for somebody who has time on their hands. I look for people who are busy. Now, they might not be busy doing what they want to do, but they're busy doing something. And he says, they were fishermen. And so Jesus said, could you please submit a resume? And I'll take it to the board. He said, follow me, he told them. And I will make you fishers for people. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. What were they thinking? Did you ever see that show on TV where, I don't know if it's still on or not, that someone would go around and give a foreign vacation? I guess they can't do it now with COVID. But they'd walk up and they'd say, how would you like to take a trip to Italy? Yeah. Rocky would like to go back. Israel. And you say, all expense paid plus spending money. Yeah, they said the only condition is you have to leave from right where you're standing. Can't go home and pack. You have to leave right now. I mean, some people would do it, yeah, and some people wouldn't. But that's what Jesus is asking. It says, doesn't say in verse 20, immediately they went back and told their household. Immediately they left their nets. Can you imagine what was going on at home? Dinner's been on the table for hours. Where are they? See, in order to be a disciple, you can't. And I didn't hear him say, well, give us a sign. How do we know this is God? Now, it hasn't been said yet, but it will be said. My sheep know my voice. Let me put it another way. Trust your gut. Trust your gut. It says immediately they left their nets. They didn't fold them up. See, things that are left undone because someday you'll leave should time continue. And there are going to be things left undone. And they're going to have to be just stay that way. You know, very few people get to plan their exit out of here. It says, going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Isn't it odd that if you're going to be a disciple, see, and a disciple means those who are learning, but it doesn't mean those who learn by lecturing. The Greek word for disciple means to come alongside of. Jesus never stood up and said, today we're going to talk about eschatology. Yes, Peter? It's E-S. He didn't lecture them and say that. He said, if you have seen me, if you have come alongside, how do you heal somebody? Watch. I mean, they have classes now on how to pray for healing. You don't need a class. You need the Spirit to come upon you. You need to say, how did Jesus do it? How did Jesus do it? Speak the words only. Can you imagine that? How do you heal somebody? You just speak. Whatever you ask, Matthew 18, 19 says, of course, that hadn't been written yet, but that says, if two of you agree as anything they ask, it will be. So we ask, here's the way we do it. July 30th, Publishers Clearinghouse fan father is going to pull up somewhere. No. I know there's at least two of us that are asking for this. And if you're not, you're lying. You know. $7,000 a week for life. I mean, that's not what it's talking about. Anything they ask of my Father. In other words, what is going to bring God glory? How can I be used to bring him glory? It says immediately they left the boat and their father. See, if the man later in the Gospels had seen that, he never would have said, let me go bury my father. But they just did, and it doesn't say they said, Dad, see ya. It says that immediately they just left. What was it about Jesus that would call somebody? Maybe it was the eyes. Just look at the eyes. You know, I believe in the Old Testament it says the eyes are the window to the soul. There was just something about when he said it. It says, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. There's something about following Jesus that we just don't get. How do I know that? Because we're children of the 60s. Question everything. Question everything. Well, how are we going to live? How are you going to support yourself? Who do you think is going to take care of you? And think of the people he went and got. He didn't go to the church. You know why? We spoke about that, I think, a couple weeks ago. Because the church keeps trying to close the doors. They don't want you to get to Jesus. They want you to get to church. They want you to get to the outer court. You know? Because in the outer court, we can control you. In the inner court, in the holy place, it's a little more difficult. And you know what happens in the holy place? You have access to the holiest of holies. Then the church is really in deep doo-doo because they find out. You don't need me. You need the rabbi. And so he gets people who don't know any better. See, and I look back and I say, why would the captain choose me to be on that team because I was dumb enough to not know any better. We're going to send you behind enemy lines. All right. I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You're what? I guess I was 19, 20 years old at that time. I mean, 20-year-olds don't die. See, when you don't know what you can do, and you only know what you've never done, and God says, do you know what you can't do? And you go, no, nothing. Nothing. But they find nothing. Okay, I'm going to say this real slow, Chuck. No thing. Put them together. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. See, I don't know. I don't see where it's in there, but they had to believe that because they left everything they had in the midst of the shift. I mean, they're in the middle of working, and they just, okay. And if that's not good enough, he gets Peter and Andrew, then he gets James and John, and see, their mama was going to come up later because everybody says James and John were thunder. No, they were the sons of thunder, and that wasn't Zebedee. That was the mama, you know, the sons of thunder. In other words, Jesus knew when she showed up, the thunder was about to roll. But then he says, you know, I know Simon, a sailor, you know, Peter, he's impetuous. He always, you know, I like him because he just jumps. But now, who can I get to work with these Jews? These devout Jews, these people who just love God. Let me get a traitor. Let me get somebody who sold out the Jews. To put it in Revolutionary War history, let me get Benedict Arnold. To put it in our day, let me get Lois Lerner. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, make it easy on you, 9:9. Feel like Herman Cain, 9:9:9. And Jesus went on from there in verse 9 of chapter 9 and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office and said to him, follow me. Now, don't you think that Peter and Andrew are gone, yo, I know he's one of us, but he's not one of us. I just saw him last week. And I was supposed to have my taxes here by, you know, April 15th. But it was 1 minute after midnight, and he charged me interest. This guy, and you know what he's going to do? He's going to take some of it and put it in his pocket because he's always overcharging us. Do you know who you're calling? Do you know what he's like? See, Jesus doesn't care what we're like. What he cares about, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to obey? It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are. What matters is, are you obedient? Obedience is better than sacrifice because don't listen, dare I say this, don't listen to the pastors. Listen to Jesus. He'll tell you whether they're being accurate or not. That doesn't mean the pastors are liars. It just means that they're supposed to be disciples just like you. No one is... I believe the way the scripture puts it is God is no respecter of persons. But what clergy have done, they put clergy here and everybody else down here. Because, you know, we're theologians. So are you. See, I never know what to do until he tells me. Should we open or should we close? That's not my decision. That's his decision. And he made that, let me see. I think that was, what, about 2,000 years ago? It's COVID's coming. Gabriel's going, do you know in 2020 there's going to be COVID? I know. Why do you think I put even more so as you see the day approaching? That's why I put it in there, Gabe. Oh. Because the angels aren't all-knowing. They do obey, but they don't know what's going on. So he calls Matthew, of all people, because you look around the room and you go, a few weeks ago, remember we had a visitor, and Don looked over and went, how'd that character get in here? And it was a pastor. I mean, he wondered how he got in there. Yeah, he didn't look like a pastor. See, you don't have to look like a disciple. You just have to act like a disciple. How does a disciple act? Remember RCA Nipper? Doesn't you remember Nipper from RCA? Yeah. And it would have this dog listening. And underneath it says, his master's voice. See, Nipper knew the master's voice. That's a disciple. They didn't know exactly who he was, but they knew that voice. They knew that voice. They knew it. I don't know when they heard it or where they heard it. Have you ever heard people say, well, God spoke to me? And we hate, you know, Kay and I say, I hate when people use it to their advantage. But, you know, God will speak to you. Now, sometimes he'll use friends to do it. Sometimes he'll use TV to do it. Sometimes he'll use nature to do it. You know, as Aaron said, you know, a few weeks ago, we were coming back from Lynchburg, and we saw a rainbow, you know. We didn't see the rainbow. We got the, you know, Carol had told me one time she drove through a rainbow, and I'm going, yeah, right. Yeah, but we got to drive through the rainbow. Yeah, we actually drove through it. And you go, you know. And none of us were speaking, so to speak, or singing, but all of us were probably singing, our God is an awesome God, he reigns. Yeah. You just know it. He speaks to you. But do you realize it? It's not a coincidence. How do you know that? Discipleship. In John chapter 1, it says in verse 35, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Remember, disciples to come alongside of. They had already come alongside John, the Baptist. They had already come alongside of him. They had been watching. They had been listening, because that's what a disciple does. You know, they listen, they watch. You know, that's why every once in a while you'll hear me say, very good, grasshopper. You know, meaning you've been watching. You know, it says again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. And if you read on, it says, two of his disciples left and followed the one. How? Why would they do that? Leadership by example. They knew John knew what he was talking about. And immediately, and see, we have this idea that once they come here, they're never supposed to leave. If God calls you somewhere else, for goodness sake, listen to him. Be obedient. Be obedient. How else are they going to find out what freedom is? I believe the word says, how will they know unless somebody goes? Yeah. I firmly believe that's why John Paul was sent to Africa. I firmly believe that. So people could see what a real missionary was like. Because I had other pastors tell me, they'd say, how could you send him over there and not know what he's doing? I said, I know exactly what he's doing. Well, what is it? Whatever God tells him to do. You know, he doesn't need to do what I say. He needs to do what God says. See, he's the rabbi. He's the teacher. He's the one who knows what's going to happen. Now, every once in a while, we could even get inflated because we'll say, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And we go, I must be a prophet. Yeah. No, no. You're just listening to God. God says the only reason he gives a prophecy is so that when it happens, you'll know that he knew before it ever happened. And it says they heard, and then down in verse 38, same chapter, it says, when Jesus turned and noticed, he didn't even say, follow me. Jesus just happened to be walking by, and John says, there's the Lamb of God. And it says Jesus kept walking, evidently, and he asked, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi. That was enough. Where are you staying? Come and see. So they went. That was enough. People, if you think God, as your rabbi, is ever going to tell you everything that was going to happen, you're out of your mind. But he will say, do you trust me? Do you trust me now? Do you trust? I'll never forget Dr. Duane. We had friends, and many of you know Colin and Barbara. Colin and Barbara. And Barbara, they were at a Christian conference in Florida, and they were going through the line for lunch, and Barbara collapsed. And so they knew if they could get back to Fredericksburg, and she went in the hospital, and after about a week, they cleared her to travel back to Fredericksburg. She knew if she could just get back to Duane, because Dr. Duane was a godly man, yeah, that Dr. Duane could help her. And so they got back here, and Dr. Duane was taking care of her, and she kept getting worse. And no matter what he did, she kept getting worse. And she got worse, And so they called her son in, who's the pastor of the church right behind us here, the church on Stafford Avenue, and said, you know, your mom's on her way out. You better come see her. And Duane said he fell on his knees and said, I can't do anything else, God. I've done everything I've known to do. What I'm going to do now As a doctor, I'm just turning her over to you. He said, and he got up from his knees and she started to improve. And she just kept getting better and better and better. See, when he heard God's voice, I know you're a doctor, but we've said this before, say it again. The difference between God and doctors is God knows he's not a doctor. You'll get that later, you know. They actually believe they can cure people, and they can't. See, and Dwayne knew that. And then he came to himself, and he said, God, it's in your hands. That's what a disciple is. They hear God's voice, and they know it. They know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. And they just say, here am I. Use me. I don't like it. And yet I love it. Yeah. I tell people that Christianity is the greatest life you'll ever hate to love. Yeah. I mean, just think, wouldn't it be nice? Does anybody, well, maybe some people do. We never start out on a trip if we don't know where we're going. We just don't do it. You know, we just say, okay, we're in the car this afternoon. Where are you going? We're going to Lynchburg. Get in the car. Where are you going? Well, we're going to Disney World. You know, we want to know where we're going. It just makes it, there's some comfort in that. But what God does, he says, where are you going? Going in the Navy. Okay. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a jet mechanic. Oh, really? Where? On a Navy base somewhere, because I don't want to go to sea. Okay. So you're going to go in the Navy, you're going to be a jet mechanic. Where? Well, hopefully close to Philadelphia somewhere. So I go in the Navy, and the recruiter tells me, you're going to be a jet mechanic. And I go to boot camp, and they say, you're going to be a jet mechanic. And I get on board ship, and they say, what are you here for? I said, I'm here to be a jet mechanic. And they hand me a hook, and they say, you're going to pull the cables off planes when it comes in. And they catch. I said, that's not a jet mechanic. And then the captain calls and says, we have another assignment for you. I said, yeah, but I'm supposed to be a jet mechanic. The recruiter told me, yeah, but, you know, you're here now. And this is what you're going to do. Okay. And what am I supposed to do? We'll tell you it's on a need-to-know basis. Everything I needed to know about Christianity, I learned in combat on a need-to-know basis. That's why, see, I had to trust, when I first went on that crew, I had to trust the one who was leading. And if I didn't trust them, I was in trouble. I had no clue where they were dropping us off. Had no clue once they dropped us off. I didn't even know what the pickup time was. Yeah. Only the person in charge knew. That's it. And what it taught me was, I don't need to know. I just need to know who's in charge and who knows. I need to know the rabbi. As a disciple, you better trust the rabbi. because he knows who you are. He knows what you're capable of because you don't. Because I never thought I could do what we did. You know. And after we were done, I couldn't believe. You know, kind of like, remember we pulled a chair up here and Mary sat here and Anne was, I think she had a brace on it. Yeah. And we just prayed. And that afternoon, she went, I can move my hand. And we're going, wow. See, after it's done, you can't even believe it. But if we were really disciples, we need to go, that ain't nothing. Watch this. Watch this. Here's what I love about being a disciple. I told my brother this week, you know, when I talked to him. I said, do you remember what Mom used to tell me? He'd say, she told you a lot. He said, because you forced her to. I said, remember she always used to tell me your last words in life were going to be, hey, watch this. Yeah. I'm still saying, I'm hearing that because that's what God's last words are going to be. Hey, say it again. Hey, watch this. Come on up, Eli, and pray. Hey, watch this. Come on up, Mary. Come on up, Stan. Come on up, whoever. Roberta, who came to the storehouse. You know, she didn't come for food. She came for prayer. Now, she didn't know it, and I didn't know it. But I have to hear the rabbi's voice. You may not know this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. And I'm throwing this in for free. Here's information. Wendell's professional. And he held a concert this week. Did you know that? At a laundromat. For one person. Yeah. The woman who runs the laundromat, you know, pointing and saying, and the woman comes over and goes, it's my birthday. Will you sing happy birthday? Now, anybody who knows Wendell knows he doesn't do private concerts. Well, yeah. I understand you used to sing professionally. Well, he still does. He just has a different agent. Yeah. And his agent says, I booked a concert for you. Oh, yeah, where? At a laundromat. Am I supposed to sing My Girl? Yeah, yeah. Am I supposed to sing Smoke It? I mean, what am I supposed to? Wendell, it's not going to be easy. I don't know if you can pull it off. Happy birthday. And I'm thinking, God's gone. That's a disciple. That's a disciple. Someone, you know, I can't imagine. She's going to tell people, talk about that. I don't know what age she was, but the rest of her life, she's going to talk about the platters singing happy birthday to her. Think about that. Think about that. Think about that, people. That's what a disciple. Just listen. He wouldn't normally do this. But people, you have to do what you wouldn't normally do to see results you would never see any other way. If you want to do radical things for God, then start doing ridiculous things for God. It makes no sense. But God is God. And Jesus says, come and see. We want to see, then come. Doesn't work that way. There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James's brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. And then the song goes, he has called us to, he has called us to, I am his disciple, I am one, are you? He has called us to, he has called us to, we are his disciples, we his work must do. That's what a disciple is. It isn't the church they go to. It's the master they follow, because too many people follow churches. Our church just doesn't do that. Our church doesn't speak in tongues. Our church does speak in tongues. Our church doesn't heal. Our church does heal. Our church doesn't distribute food. Our church does distribute. None of it's anything if they aren't listening to him. If he wants you to speak, speak. If he wants you to be still, be still. But the second part of that was, and know that he is God, that he's the rabbi, that he's in charge, that he will lead you, and that no weapon, look, there's weapons being formed right now. My brother and I had this conversation the other night because I told him, I said, don't ever think to yourself that we don't have weapons that nobody knows about. Because if China had weapons or Russia had weapons that were stronger than ours, we'd be speaking Russian or Chinese. We have weapons we're not telling you about. And I told him, I said, I know that because, you know, we use some that in the 60s. Now they're probably in a museum somewhere. But they were cutting edge. God has weapons you know nothing about. And every once in a while, I remember when the threat would get really bad, we'd go down below decks, and we had to go aft, midship, and forward, because they came in three parts. They were never together, because you put them together, they get nuclear weapons. And we'd bring them up, and we'd put them together, and we'd put them on the planes. Something big was about, we never used them. We'd take them apart, put them back down. See, and that's what God's doing right now. I can see it right now. He's assembling. He's about to blow the devil to smithereens. He's about to take this country and tear it apart and put it together at the same time. By you. How do I know? That's why you're here today. This isn't church. This is a ready room. You're getting ready to be sent in the battle. What are you going to do? Only one knows. And let me tell you what happens. The first time a shot's fired, I remember saying, Chief, I was hit! He says, you weren't hit. You just soiled yourself. That was a nice way of, he said, don't worry, everybody does it. Yeah. I'm telling you, it will scare the living soil out of you. When you act, I can't believe he did that. He took me through what? We're in the storm, we're sinking. Peace. Be still. Whoa! Yeah. Peter was a sailor. I know what he said. Yeah. Think about it. We are his disciples. I am one. Are you? Are you ready? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know the rabbi does, and I trust him. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we think about this, as we think about the times in which we live, as we think about the idea of us calling ourselves disciples. Let us not think, Father, that we will have the plan. We will know the plan. Jeremiah never said, I will show you the plans that I have for you. He just said, I know the plans that I have for you. Do you trust me? Because my plans are to bring you through. Wounded, maybe. Limping like Jacob, maybe. But I have a plan. And my plan for you, ultimately, is so that where I am, you may be also. Oh, Father, why would we listen to humanity when we can hear the shepherd? Why would we listen to the world when we can listen to the rabbi? Why would we doubt when we've seen what we've already seen? I know he's able, and I know he can, as the song says. But even if, I still know that he's the rabbi and that he's able. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being able to be called a disciple. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of coming alongside and hearing, like Nipper, hearing the voice of the Master say, this is the way, walk in it. Painful, ugly, messy, scary, yes, but there's no place we'd rather be. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.